Okay. Don't worry, you'll get a chance to continue your conversations after. But just at this point, I'd love to bring Johnny up and just get him to share with you. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really glad to be here. And don't worry, I won't be too long because I'm used to speaking for about 40 minutes. But you boys in the front row, you'll fall asleep if I speak for 40 minutes, won't you? But hands up, how many of you are doing exams at the minute? Come on, isn't it horrendous, the weather outside? What is it about Northern Ireland and May and June when you're doing exams, the sun is splitting the tree? All these nice people from America don't realise how bad the weather is normally. They just think this is normal for us. But isn't it horrendous? You're sitting there at your desk and it's absolutely boiling outside and you'd love to be outside. But loads of you are doing exams, but in August, what happens in August? You get the results. So what happens in August when you don't get the results you were expecting? What happens in August if you don't get the results you're expecting, but they're actually horrendously bad? Not good news. At that point, who do you look to for hope? What would you look to for hope? It's a good question. Hands up here who love sport. Hopefully none of you support Lisburn Distillery. Do they even play football any longer? Anyway, we'll move on. I'm a United supporter, so I'm not saying much about football these days. But I used to love rugby. We could see the guy from Ren Collective in the video. He was talking about rugby. And I remember a really, really amazing experience. I went to Methodist College Belfast. MCB. I hope there's no one from Wallace or Friends or Laurel Hill. We hated Lisburn schools. Couldn't wait to kick the Lisburn schools. But anyway, there were no Lisburn schools good enough when I was in Lower Sixth to get to the Schools Cup final, and we played Inst and we beat them. And that was one of the greatest days. Any Instonians here? Yeah, they even wear silly shirts to this day. So we played Inst and we won the Schools Cup. It was one of the best days of my life. And then the next year in Upper Sixth, I was still at Methody. I hadn't flunked out of my AS levels, although I nearly did. And we got to the Schools Cup final again. And in my Upper Sixth year, we had beat every team in Northern Ireland. We had beat every team in the south of Ireland. We hadn't been beaten all year. And we got to the Schools Cup final. And one of my friends, a guy called Ryan Duffy, had a kick to win the Schools Cup against Campbell. And he hit the post. And we lost. And I didn't have a category for that. What do you do when things don't go as you expected? I mean, in Lower Sixth, it was amazing. We won the Schools Cup, and that was fantastic. And then the next year, we hadn't. And suddenly, here I am, standing at Ravenhill in the middle of the pitch, and we've lost the Schools Cup. Didn't have a category for that. What do you do? What do I do when things don't go as expected? Maybe you've been in a relationship with a boy or with a girl, and the relationship breaks up, and you don't know what to do next. Maybe in your family life and your mum and dad and you thought they would always be together and suddenly they break up. And so the question is, what do we do in life when things don't go as expected? To who do we turn for hope? Or what do we turn for hope? I want to tell you a story about a man called Saul of Tarsus. Some of you have never heard of him before. Some of you know that story very well. Saul of Tarsus was a guy, and some of you ladies might be looking in your life for Mr. Right. Any of you girls looking, hands up, looking for Mr. Right? Don't want to embarrass you. Are you looking for Mr. Right over here in the corner? You're looking for Mr. Right? Well, and we could do like an arrangement tonight, and then we'll get the guys up with their hands. Okay, we'll not do that tonight. Saul of Tarsus was Mr. Right. Let me explain to you how Mr. Right he was. Listen to how the Bible describes Saul of Tarsus. Listen to what it says about him. I was circumcised on the eighth day I was of the people of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. Saul was the best guy you could ever imagine in his culture. He was like the head boy walking around school. He had straight A's. He had the nicest looking girlfriend in the school. He came from the best family. He was Mr. Right. And he thought that he was right. He thought that he could get everything right. He thought that God would love him because he could work his way up to God. He thought he was right. But then something went wrong for Saul. I want to tell you another part about his story, about a time when something went wrong. In fact, he hated Christianity so much. And he thought that he was doing God a favor by killing Christians. So listen to what happened in his life. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, or you could call them Christians. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, that means to be a follower of Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on a journey, now he thinks he's Mr. Right. He thinks because he's such a good guy, he comes from a good family, he's from the right nation, and in fact he's one of the top guys within that nation. He thinks he can work his way up to heaven. Maybe you think that about yourself as well. When you compare yourself with all of the other people at Wallace or Friends or all the other people at Laurel Hill or another school you come from, you go, you know what, John, I'm not really as bad as them. And in fact, when I look at the TV and I see the Islamic State and what they're doing, when I see some of the terrorists in Northern Ireland and what they're doing, do you know what, John, I actually think I'm pretty good. If God was looking down on me tonight, in fact, I reckon I'm so good that God would take me into heaven tonight because of how good I am. Saul thought that he was right. Saul, I think, thought he was Mr. Right. But listen to what happens to him. He's on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. On his way there, he neared Damascus on a journey. And suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Just think about this. This guy is on his way. He thinks he's right. He's Mr. Right. He's Mr. Perfect. He's got all the credentials that he thought he could work his way up to heaven. And then suddenly Jesus begins to speak to him. The Jesus that he thought didn't exist. The Jesus in whom the people who were said to be followers of the way were following. And suddenly Jesus appears to Saul on the Damascus road. You see, Mr. Right found out in that moment that he had something wrong. And I want to tell you tonight, before I tell you the good news, that there's bad news. You may have never been in a church before in your life and you're wondering, what is wrong with me deep down? As you look out in the world in the last 100 years and you think about all the world wars, World War I, World War II, and then even if we narrow the lens to Northern Ireland, we literally have a city that's divided by a wall. One sort of people live on one side of the wall and one sort of people live on the other side of the wall. And we bomb each other and we fight with one another and we bite and devour one another. There's something wrong. And then when you look in your own families, you see there's something wrong. And then you look into your own heart and there's certain things that you want to do and you go, where does that come from? The Bible says there's something wrong. And on this road to Damascus, Mr. Right found out there was something wrong. The problem is our heart. Jeremiah 17 says is that the heart, whether you're 13 or you're 93, without Jesus Christ, it says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can understand it? Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus originally, He says that when we're born into this world, that we are born dead in our trespasses and sins. You may never have heard of that word trespasses before. It means that you're sinning against a holy and perfect God. And so suddenly on this Damascus road, Saul is going there to kill Christians, and suddenly Jesus appears to him, and in that moment, I believe, Mr. Wright realizes he's got something wrong. He realizes that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So you might think, well, even I'm a church kid. I come to Emmanuel Baptist. Well, then surely I'm a good kid, and I'm really not as bad as the other people in my high school or my grammar school or in my area. And yet tonight you realize God is saying to you, if you're not a Christian, that all have sinned. All. It doesn't leave any exceptions. Whether your parents are Christians or not Christians, all have sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard and glory. And then you say, Johnny, well, if Saul, Mr. Wright, knew that there was something wrong, and you say tonight, well, I sort of thought of myself as being all right, and now I realize there's something wrong, what happens to me? Well, the Bible says that the wages of sin, the price to be paid for sin, is death. I'm a pastor, and just on Wednesday, I got a phone call to say, Johnny, can you rush to the hospital? One of the members of our church had a massive stroke. They died on Thursday. And I'm burying that girl on Monday, after tomorrow. This girl loved Jesus. But if she didn't, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and the wages or the price or the consequences of sin is death. But now I want to tell you the good news. But the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Do you know that's why Jesus came to earth? He didn't come necessarily because he needed you and me. John 10:10 tells us why Jesus came. I have come that you might have what? Life. You might have life. And so that you might come here tonight and realize, I thought I was all right, and I realize tonight that I'm actually wrong, that I'm dead in sin, that I have no hope without Christ. And suddenly you might realize what Saul did. Listen to what he said in his testimony. He says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's what all the people said in the video. The skateboarder with the weird American/Liverpudlian accent. The guy from the center of the universe, wherever that was in Ireland. The guitar player from Rent Collective. And the doctor girl, all of them said, we thought that we were right. We thought that we had everything that we needed and wanted. And then they said they looked at their lives and considered everything a loss compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want each one of you to realize, you may think that you're right, but actually the Bible says you're wrong. When you are born, I've got two lovely children. They're not always lovely, but I love them. One's four and one's two. But the Bible says from the moment Jonah was born, my oldest son, and the moment Maisie was born, my daughter, the Bible says they're born wrong. The Bible verse says that they're born dead in their trespasses and sins. In fact, you can go back further. David said, surely I was conceived. Surely I was brought forth in sin. So even Jonah and Maisie, my two lovely kids, whom I love, they've got a problem. There's something wrong in their hearts. I didn't teach Maisie how to do bad things. She just does them, and does a lot of them. Because even though I love her, there's something wrong within her heart, and there's something wrong within your heart. So how can we be made right? Saul thought he was Mr. Right. Maybe you do too. Maybe tonight you realize, like Saul, there was a time now tonight that you realize that you are wrong. There's something deep within your heart that's wrong. Well then, how can you be made properly right? Well, I love this little verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It might be my favorite verse in the Bible. It says, but God. But God demonstrates his own love towards Johnny McLaughlin. But God demonstrates his own love towards whatever your name is. But God demonstrates his own love towards you that while, think about this, you didn't have to clean yourself up. You didn't have to get your act together. You didn't have to climb a ladder up to God. But God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Saul on that road to Damascus realized the love of Christ. I close with this little story. I just cut it out. I found it on the internet this afternoon. It's about Tiger Woods. He thought that he was Mr. Right. He thought that he couldn't do anything wrong. But listen to his story, and I'm going to close with this. It's from his website, the Tiger Woods website. Reflecting on his life, he said, I was unfaithful, I had affairs, and I cheated. What I did was unacceptable, said the 14-time major winner. I hurt my wife, I hurt my kids, I hurt my mother, I hurt my wife's family, I hurt my friends, I hurt my foundation, and the kids all around the world who admired me. Wood said, I'm the only person to blame. I stopped living by the core values I was taught to believe in. I knew my actions were wrong, but I convinced myself that I was right. I never thought I was hurting anyone. Instead, I only thought about myself. I ran straight through the boundaries a man should live by. I thought I could get away with whatever I wanted to do. I felt that I'd worked hard my entire life and enjoy all the temptations around me. I felt that I was entitled. And thanks to my money and my fame, I didn't have far to go to find them. But I was wrong. And I was foolish. He said, my failures have made me look at myself in a way I've never wanted to before. It's now up to me to make amends, and that starts by never repeating the mistakes I've made. But I would still say, Tiger, you're wrong. Until this last sentence. He says, it's up to me to start living a life of integrity. It's hard to admit that I need help, but I do. I have a lot to atone for. Tiger says, it's hard to admit that I need help, but I do. Major champion. Perhaps the best golfer of all time says, I need help. I can't fix what's wrong within me. Can I encourage you tonight, after all that you've seen on the screen, after all the testimonies you've heard, after you've heard about the testimony of Saul, who thought he was Mr. Right, who realized that he had something wrong, but on that Damascus road, he was made right by Jesus Christ. On that Damascus road, no doubt he experienced what it is to be saved from his sin and rebellion against God. And Jesus Christ can do that with you tonight. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to wash yourself down. Jesus says to each one of us tonight, no matter what our sins are, though your sins be as scarlet, I can make them whiter than snow. In fact, the Bible says that he can take our sins and hurl them into the very depths of the ocean. In fact, he says that he can take all our sin and separate them as far as the east is from the west and remember them no longer. Tiger Woods needs Christ. Saul of Tarsus needed Christ. The skateboarder needed Christ. The female doctor needed Christ. The singer needed Christ. And so do you. So I'm just going to pray and then hand back to the guys and just take a few moments of stillness and think about your own life and where you're at and your need of Christ. And if you want to come to him tonight, the Bible says that if you come to him in repentance, if you'll turn from your sin and place your faith in Christ and what he did on the cross, you too can be saved. So let me just pray. Our Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you that when he died on the cross, you made him who was sinless, who was perfect, who was spotless, who never yielded to temptation. You made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, to take our place, to be our substitute, to be our reconciliation, to be our justification, to be made right in your perfect and in your holy and in your awesome sight. Father, you made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that through him, so that in him, we might have life. And that we might indeed become new people, new creations. Father, you know each young person that's here tonight. You know the family that they're from. You know the brokenness maybe that's there. You know the pressures in their lives that they didn't expect. Our Father, would you show them Jesus Christ tonight? Oh Father, would you even make this the night where they give their lives to Christ and give everything over to you and realize in finding Christ they have found the pearl of great price. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
You are free to just chill. We're going to just chat and get some more food and just, yeah. But maybe you're a Christian and maybe you feel challenged. Maybe you're putting things before where you feel God should be in your life. So don't leave. We would love to chat with you. We would love to just even pray with you if you would like that. That would be amazing. And maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you feel that you're just starting to maybe see a bit of who Jesus is and you're starting to maybe be a bit more interested than maybe you had been. Please don't leave with questions unanswered. Please just grab us. We would love to just have a chat with you. And yeah, come along on Sunday, tomorrow. We have church and we would just love to see you guys out. Don't feel like maybe because you're not a Christian that we wouldn't like to have you there. We would love to see you there. So yeah, just relax and enjoy the rest of your night and head on when you need to, but thank you.